WCRS 98.3 102.1. This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton. In the studio today, we have Cliff Arnebeck, election law attorney and the trial attorney for the King Lincoln case, and we'll also be speaking with John Ennis, filmmaker of Pay to Play.
All right, Cliff, speaking of Pay to Play, you filed just a few hours ago a complaint in the Ohio Election Commission. You swore a personal affidavit issuing a complaint alleging a two-count complaint against the Partnership for Ohio's Future, an affiliate of the Ohio Chamber of Commerce, and against another man, Carl Rove. You seem to be claiming that they're involved in illegal election activity in Ohio and are coordinating to essentially shift or rig this election.
Absolutely.
And on what basis would you make those accusations, Mr. Arnebeck?
They're true.
Okay, work the listeners through this. Carl Rove, you know, the Swingali of the Bush administration, he's back and he's more powerful than ever. Is that what you're saying?
He's back and he's poised to stage a coup that's really larger than either the theft of the 2000 presidential election or the 2004 presidential election. Because what is at stake in this election is the apportionment process that will set the boundaries for state legislatures and the Congress for the next 10 years. So that's at stake. The state Supreme Courts are at stake. This apportionment process in Ohio, and I'm not sure what its character is throughout the country, but in Ohio, you've got the Secretary of State is one of the offices that compose the apportionment board, and that's also the office that administers the election process. John Husted, the former Speaker of the House, who is as right wing as you can get, he's the guy that codified the Ken Blackwell voter suppression tactics of 2004. He put them into the law, and he's quoted today in an article in the Toledo Blade, I believe it was, saying that he supports electronic voting machines. He thinks they're fine. And people like them.
Well,
so you get Republican control of the Senate or such a close margin that Obama can't appoint people of quality to get through, people who are of real quality in the Supreme Court and other key appointments that are subject to senatorial approval. He can't do anything with money if the Republicans take control of the House. His hands are tied behind his back. This is a catastrophe ready to happen, and everyone is assuming that this is all legal because of Citizens United. They say, well, you know, this is terrible, but there's nothing we can do about it because the Supreme Court said these people can spend all this money. The Supreme Court did not say, as bad as that decision is, that did not say that this...
That decision people, you're talking about?
Citizens United. They did not say that this outrageous fascist majority did not say that corporations can give... make in-kind gifts to campaigns. It's only independent expenditures that are subject to without limitation. And let's think about what you're talking about when you're talking about a truly independent expenditure. You're talking about some ideological group like the Right to Life folks or the choice pro-choice folks who have a real passion about a single issue, and they raise money for that, and they say, now, boy, this is great because now we can go out and we can speak as vigorously and as persuasively as we can for candidates that embrace the values that we hold to be the highest priority value. And that's fine when you're when that's what you're talking about. But when you're talking about billionaires and global corporations who are forming a partnership with a gangster, a political gangster, a serial election thief like Karl Rove, who has made a trade-off, we'll give you put us in power, and we will give you everything you want. I mean, that's the deal. That's the quid pro quo.
So you're telling me that Karl Rove, in a sense, is the new political godfather and the leading money launderer in America?
Yeah. And the other thing, that Bob, the reason I think it's worse than 2000 and 2004 is that when Rove was using this machine to install a president, it wasn't Karl Rove. It was George W. Bush. And at the end of George W. Bush's administration, I think he realized that he'd been had, he'd been used, and the trust that he placed in Dick Cheney and Karl Rove had been misplaced. They had betrayed his trust, and he stopped listening to Cheney, and he let Rove go. Well, now what do we have? We have Rove back. And who is the emperor in this new Death Star to democracy? Karl Rove is the emperor. Karl Rove is the one who's going to win this election. There's no political figure other than Karl Rove who's going to be the winner in this predicted swamp or avalanche in favor of the Republican Party.
All right, and John Innes just coincidentally pay to play. Isn't that about Citizens United? What's your take on what's going on, and what is the new movie about, Pay to Play?
Well, my movie Pay to Play picks up where my last documentary, Free for All, left off, which you and Cliff were such great contributors to.
I gave myself one thumbs up, playing a college professor attorney who was outraged by money laundering and corruption.
And it was a memorable performance, I got to say.
And of course, Cliff Arnebeck, who played a Harvard attorney who stood for justice, like kind of a Clark Kent thing going on.
That's true. And, you know, what I learned in my experience going through Ohio studying the voter suppression that had happened in 2004 and the active conflicts of interest was that beyond what happens at the voting booth on election day, the voters are really suppressed before then by the candidates that even get on the ballots. And that happens both from party politics and who they think will win and who's already beholden. And it really comes down to money. And it comes down to the primaries when people might still have a chance to put in their, you know, the most popular candidate. And so by following certain candidates in Ohio, I stumbled upon this larger issue beyond just what happens on election day, but what leads up to it. So by following people like Paul Hackett, Subodh Chandra up in Cleveland, I saw how sort of the newcomers to politics were getting the shaft in a variety of different ways and left holding the bills and being sort of, you know, whatever sort of inspiration that might be leading that gets fizzled out and stomped out. And so I wanted to try to make a documentary that would show not just the problems, but also the ways around it. And I've really been hanging around the idea that ultimately it comes down to the candidates that are running for office and the choices that they make. Now, you can be outspent, and you're not going to be able to stop that, but there are ways that people become unglued and get away from taking any of the campaign ads seriously. And there is a way, I think, in independent media and the evolving saturation of the typical political hate machine that goes on in elections that it's really... I know that attack ads already suppress the vote because people don't want to come out for that stuff, but all the more I think it starts to turn people off. So while Rove can be breaking in, you know, bringing in 25, 50 million just for this election and all these different races, you know, Meg Whitman has spent twice that in California, just California, and her numbers have only gone down. And a lot of it is because she, you know, the fact that her money has become the central issue. And the more that she spends, the more people are like, wow, I could really use some money. I'm sure California could use a lot of money. I know that, you know, the big scandal in Bell, California, they sure could use some money. And the idea that, you know, the money itself isn't the end is actually a really threatening one to people like Rove. And so with all the immense coverage that's happened this year since the Citizens United decision, but then as the Chamber of Commerce started to step into it, I was very struck in particular how once Obama started calling out Rove by name and specifying the foreign donations to the Chamber of Commerce in particular, because that sounds bad, just the fact that we don't know where this foreign money is coming from, Rove started squealing like I don't think we'd seen him for a very long time. He talked to Politico and said, oh, immediately. You know, when he picks up the phone and talks to Politico, which is, I think of it as the last refuge of the scoundrel, that means that, you know, he's got to get a meme out right away. And this is definitely something that he had lost, you know, control of the more the Democrats are talking about it. And so he tried to gin up a larger debate, like, oh, well, the Democrats take foreign money, the unions, and, you know, a lot of Republicans love to hate the unions. And that's also, all of these things are predicated on the faulty assumption. It's like, yeah, guess what? We know that because of disclosure laws. The problem here is the fact that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, quotes around U.S., is really, you know, taking money from big corporations that are really helping the jobs go over to China because that's better for the owners. And it's, and Truth Progress by the from the Center for Progress has done an amazing job at uncovering a lot of these you know, financial reports and being able to identify both who not just the chamber donors are, but who the larger, you know, the Koch brothers, the billionaires, have been actively courting and having you know, to their seminars to try to bring them into the fold. They released a an invitation and who this went out to. They were also able to report on the 15 top donors that had given money to this larger fund that the Koch is putting together. The Kochtopus? Cocktopus, I think someone had called them. And surprise, surprise, they're from the industries, the like, I think Prudential. It's perfect. It's like insurance, oil, defense contractors are like the first, or your like top three of these donors personally. And so once you start to realize that this naked power grab is going on, it really becomes the object to get it around the media. And so what is Fox News talking about right now without even turning it on? They're talking about voter fraud, and all these people are going to show up and vote and go to all these great lengths to go back, like it's a revolving door, like it's that easy or even possible or even effective, which is like the biggest complaint I have, is how utterly ineffective that is. Like, I can't even begin. But the idea then that, you know, this is the sort of larger story that's being sold to this one-sided corporate media is something that we have to take on and show people in spite of it. And this is what independent media is all about. And this is what Video the Vote is about, and why we're going to show what happens on Election Day at the polling places across Ohio and around the country. And it's also what you guys are doing here with your show. And it's also how, you know, the few lone independent journalists that are going to report on this crazy subpoena that got slapped against Karl Rove on Sunday, which apparently news cameras caught, but is yet to be reported by anyone except you. And then later tonight, probably me, because I will have interviewed you guys maybe tomorrow. And that's what it's coming down to. And so when it looks, you know, when you look at, you know, why newspapers are falling, and, you know, it's because they're so actively, you know, restraining from identifying the things that are going on. And we just saw this in Cincinnati this past week following the Gene Schmidt, Surya Yalaman Chile race for Congress, how the Cincinnati Inquirer sat on a story damaging to the candidate they just endorsed on Friday until it was gotten so much national attention that they had to include it.
Cliff, what is this crazy subpoena he's talking about? You slapped Karl Rove with a subpoena?
We certainly did. Karl Rove was
full walking. Disclosure, I'm on that case, but it was Cliff's signature on that subpoena.
It was Karl Rove was going into in to be interviewed by Bob, is it Bob Schieffer, at Face the Nation, and drove up in his big car, and was there were two camera crews that had been set up, started setting up at 8 o'clock that morning, and so he's walking in and basking in the glory of this important interview, and our process server walks up to him. he had been asked before this, what are you doing here? Uh-huh. And he said, I just want his autograph. So he walks up to Rove and says, Mr. Rove, I have a subpoena for you. And Rove said, oh, no. And he shows it to him and sticks it on him, and he lets it fall to the ground. And he said, I'm not. He said, Mr. Rove, you have been served. And he said, yeah. No, I haven't. And it's all on audio videotape of CNN and CBS News.
Yeah, that's so great.
All right. John, when you hear a story like that, the mainstream media, you say, thinks it's crazy, but you think it's actually serves a purpose to stick a subpoena on Karl Rove. And what was the subpoena for, Cliff?
The subpoena was to appear at a deposition in our case, our King Lincoln case, in which we alleged an ongoing civil rights conspiracy targeting African Americans and young people with voter suppression tactics and manipulation of vote counts to the prejudice of these groups. And then later, as if you recall, Bob, we in July of 2008, preceding the 2008 election, we said that we viewed Karl Rove as the principal perpetrator in a racketeering conspiracy under Ohio's Corrupt Practices Act, and we were going after him. And we put the Justice Department on notice that we wanted to make sure they preserved Karl Rove's emails in the White House that he tried to destroy and hide. And we put the U.S. Chamber of Commerce on notice to hold all their documents related to their conspiratorial activity to steal Supreme Court elections around the country. And it drove Rove nuts. And within 3 days of that news conference, we get a tip that he had sent a threat to the witness that we identified who could pull it all together. Uh-oh. And explain the totality of Rove's criminal enterprise. Hmm. And that witness was Michael Connell, whom we then deposed in a deposition the day before the 2008 election, who was then assassinated by a group of henchmen reporting to, authorized by Dick Cheney. One of his assassination teams was dispatched to eliminate Mike Connell because, Bob, as you know, he was a real national security threat.
Well, he was involved in the Valerie Plame leaks. He set up the interface of a massive computer system that had all of those emails involving national security and Valerie Plame. But again, that was a major scandal and a major crime. You would think that you'd want that to come out. Now, John, I mean, this sounds like a juicy story. I mean, we have CSI, we have Law and Order. With all these elements to it, why isn't it news?
You know, part of me wants to condemn the mainstream media and the corporatized leadership that it answers to. It's like, oh, that'll sound really sensational, and then people might complain or ask questions. And then what do we got to do? We're going to have to do more work. And the other part of me is just really grateful that they make it that easy for me to just show up and be the guy who gets and get this story firsthand from Cliff, who's actually done all this stuff. I mean, it's like Surya Yalom in Chile right now running for Congress against Gene Schmidt in Ohio's 2nd District out by Cincinnati. He has the uncommon distinction of being the only candidate running for Congress right now to not be taking any PAC money, no party money, only money from individual donations. And that's both admirable and terrifying. How should it be that easy for him to be the only person in Congress not taking PAC money in this windfall election year? And it makes it all the more admirable when someone like Cliff is the one guy who's been sitting on this thing all this time. You know, I mean, the Mike Connell thing, just even the idea that you're going to, like, identify him. I remember when that first came out, I couldn't even believe it that it was going to happen. And then I called you guys when you were driving after you deposed him, you know, the day before the 2008 election, being like, it happened, right? Like, you saw him. And I was like, yeah, we can't talk about it yet, but yeah, it happened. And I'm like, I can't believe this. And then now this thing with Rove. And I'm just glad that, you know, I get to, at least somebody I know is going to be talking about it. But I'm not all that surprised either.
This is Fight Back with Bob Fetrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS. 98.3, 102.1. In the studio, we have Cliff Arnebeck, election law attorney and trial attorney for the King Lincoln case. And we also have John Ennis, filmmaker of Pay to Play.
All right. Where's this going, Cliff? I mean, do you really think, are you going to get probable cause at the Ohio Election Commission? And if you do, where does that leave you?
Well, what happened in 2000 was an analogous situation where the Chamber of Commerce, both the U.S. Chamber and the Ohio Chamber, were spending $7 million in a race that the candidates themselves were spending $500,000. And they were doing defamatory advertising against Justice Resnick. And there was a probable cause panel hearing the day before the election. And they found probable cause that this was criminal activity. And the effect of that finding, which was reported in every newspaper of the state the day of the election, was that people changed their votes. The polling showed that Justice Resnick was going to lose by 4 points. And on election day, she won by 14 points. It was 18-point change. From the fact of the Elections Commission speaking out and saying, we think that there's probable cause to believe that this is a criminal violation of Ohio statutes, and these ads have been defamatory. So that's the potential here, that if we can get another courageous decision, that it will be communicated by the press on election day, because it is legitimate news, and that will have an impact on this election in Ohio, which is a very important state. And that's why we have been the target of the most spending by the chamber of any state in the country on our state Supreme Court. They want to have control of that Chief Justice position when the contest of the election is filed in 2012, when they've rigged the next presidential election, and they don't want to get caught or be held accountable.
John, you've been in Ohio. Is Ohio that key a state, that important, from what you've observed?
You know, I'll tell you this. I've been around Ohio a lot over the last 4 years since I first came here, and while I have increasingly appreciated the tiebreaker status it can offer, I tend to be more and more compelled by the fact that it's just the ultimate microcosm for the rest of the country. And it's living here, it's something I almost think that it's like, it is what it is to you, and that's Ohio, and Ohio is unique, but it's crazy accurate in Ohio.
It's kind of nano-America if you shrunk America down.
It is.
And made it a state, and if you shrunk the nation down and made it a city, it'd probably be Columbus, and the nation would be Ohio. And it is. It does appear to be the great microcosm.
Yeah.
And what are you finding?
And the new trends. Well, I was so eager to get here this year, and I only got into Cincinnati the other day, but just the little news highlights told me a lot about Ohio because I was able to really read into it. And so some of the memorable political season national news that Ohio has made already was, the candidate in the Nazi garb, but that's really indicative.
Hey, he was doing reenactments
of Nazis
with his son, okay?
Yeah.
A little quality time, kind of Goebbels Goering thing,
yeah.
And you got to poke fun at him.
Yeah, I know. It's just questions. So, but the other thing that I thought was just the most revealing thing, and this was like, I'm like, that's this election year in like 5 minutes, was Phil Davidson. His memorable speech as trying to be the nominee for the GOP for the Stark County Treasurer position. And his little rant at that meeting became viral video overnight. And it was seen by hundreds of thousands of people. And they were showing it on the news just because it's crazy people screaming. And this was a guy who had a master's in communication and still couldn't get anything past his whole inchoate, I will not apologize for my tone. I have had it with this country. And he goes on and on like, that's the electorate right there. Mm-hmm. And that's the Tea Party. It's this like, I'm mad, but I'm not really going to look at the reasons why, but I'm mad and you should care about that. And I don't have to really get into it. But
I'm totally
I'm proud
justified
of
in
my,
being really mad.
Yeah. And so, you know, when The Onion had a headline just this the other day that said, my opponent knows where Washington, D.C. is and I never will. You know, that's kind of what this, the bragging, talk about the dumbing down of America, the least qualified people, you know, get to claim, you know, that they're above this corruption of politics, and that's actually really, you know, ass backwards in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and then it always turns out they don't know where Washington is, but they know where the local tea room is mm-hmm. on the expressway.
Yes, exactly.
Cliff, what do you want to tell the listeners about this complaint here, this complaint before the Ohio Election Commission against the Partnership for Ohio's Future? What do you got against Ohio's future?
I've got against the idea that criminals want to control the future of Ohio and the country, and that's what they intend to do, and what we intend to do is stop them. And how do you stop them? You've got to use the hue and cry. You've got to blow the whistle, and the people have to be told. They have to be warned, and that's what we're trying to do, as you know, Bob.
Who will tell the people? Cliff Arnebeck. And, of course, John Innes. When's the movie coming out? And what would you tell the listeners about it?
Well, paytoplay.tv is the website both for the movie, and it's also an ongoing news blog of all these campaign issues. And so a lot of the Chamber of Commerce issues have been dissected there, as well as the shady stuff that Rove has been doing. Pay to Play will probably be coming out middle of next year. And besides covering Citizens United and having the backdrop of all these Ohio election stories, it'll also be delving in depth into the secret history of Monopoly and how it actually ends up representing our current political crisis far more than any of us could have imagined. And so my game that I've created called Pay to Play, I'll show it to you guys. It's pay to play number two, because it's a two-party process that we have to pay. This is the game that candidates have to face when they run for office. And so the Monopoly board is the new symbol for having to break it down. So that's what the film is going to be told through, is this reimagined board game of what it takes to run for office.
Actually, and the Columbus Free Press ran an article in 1994, Pay to Play, against Governor Voinovich. It had stuff like appoint a mobster to the turnpike, which he did. And, of course, loot the Bureau of Workers' Comp. And in 1994, no one would touch the story. And then, lo and behold, the governor leaves the state in 1998, goes on to Washington. 2000, it turns out there's money laundering into the election out from the Bureau of Workers' Comp. And the exact same story, rewritten for a weekly, wins the best political reporting 6 years after it occurred in the Free Press. And it was the same kind of obvious monopoly board. And what bothers me more than everything is everyone at top levels of the state and law enforcement knew this stuff, because they were the ones in both party, the few people who really cared, who leaked it, but nothing was ever done. I mean, this is notorious. I mean, this is open and notorious. And they get away with it. Hopefully your movie's going to have an impact.
Well, the Bureau of Workers' Comp is actually what brought me here. The Tom Noe scandal and CoinGate, you know, he was just such a funny character, and it was so basic and base and literal and short-sighted, everything he did. He was the life of the party. He gave money, checks personally to people to launder in the Bush campaign. I mean, it was just so bad, but easy to explain and typical. And the fact that he was like not a great businessman and didn't graduate from college, but ends up on the Turnpike Commission and the Board of Regents and all these other things, it's so typical. And so what started with that, with the CoinGate and the missing coins and the Buster Keaton antics around the Bureau of Workers' Comp scandal, it ended up pointing me to this larger picture of like, wow, this is actually happening everywhere. It's business giving money to politicians. And why? Because politicians need so much money to run for office. What are these costs for office, and how do we affect that so the politicians don't have to be so beholden to try to do some difference?
All right, we're going to wrap up here, but I still remember the story. We had BCCI, the Bank of Al-Qaeda, building an incinerator in East Liverpool with the New Jersey mob, and the governor's brother, Paul Voinovich, being on the take from Von Rohl. That's right, Von Rohl, who was building the super gun for Saddam Hussein to lob nuclear artilleries at Israel, all in Ohio. The heart of it all. Bob Fitrakis signing off, and
Connie Goodell Newton on Fight Back.
Peace.